Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Crawley.
Welcome. I was so moved in the worship this morning and just the word that you brought, Pastor Victor, thank you. Thank you for sharing it, because I just really believe that you kind of set the scene for what I'm going to bring this morning. And I just want to just come in. Lord, I yield to you, Holy Spirit. Have your way, Holy Spirit. It's not about me. I surrender. Speak through me, Holy Spirit, this morning. And I pray, Lord, that every heart that listens this morning, Lord, you will bless. This is a bit of a message that people don't like to hear, or is hard, or can be controversial. But Holy Spirit, I yield to you today, and I ask that you have your way. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Help us, if there's any way in our hearts, in our souls, in our minds, if there's anything at all, Holy Spirit, that will hinder people from hearing this morning. Father, we just ask for it to flee this morning, that there will be open hearts. There will be an entrance into your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so what are we talking about? I don't have the snazzy handout that Pastor Victor, so that he brings. I'm a very paper-based person, so bear with me. So what are we talking about today? Today we're talking about kingdom finance. Yes, you got that right. Kingdom finance. And that is sometimes very, very difficult to talk about, because we all have different views about how the kingdom finances should be managed. But I'll just bring to you God's heart this morning and biblical principles. And I'm hoping that after that, we'll be able to respond to it. At the end of the service, if you feel like you need prayer, or you need someone to agree with you, please, there will be people out here to just agree with you. Okay, so we've been looking at this series on the kingdom. And we started with Pastor Clive, who talked about kingdom purpose. Pastor Jane talked about the kingdom, walking with the king. That was awesome. And then Pastor Victor brought the kingdom culture. And I find this message really, it's just igniting in my heart a passion for God's kingdom, a passion to be totally surrendered to God. Because everything that we are and what God has created us for is to advance his kingdom here on earth. And I pray that God will continue to ignite that passion in our hearts as we continue today. So kingdom finance, just to give you a bit of context before we go in. And one area that God has really been dealing with me about, and you sort of mentioned it, is about submitting to God. And James 4:7, it's not in the scripture, by the way, but I just really felt to share it. James 4:7 says, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Submit, surrender to God. When we're surrendered to God, I tell you, things like very little things, you know, we can get out of step. But when we get back to God, we just say, Lord, forgive me. I surrender. Please take over. And so it is in the kingdom of God that we need to be absolutely surrendered to God. Very slow to keeping records. Very slow to keeping, you know, malice, anger, things like that. But just really, really running to God every time to say, God, I've missed it here. forgive me, I need to move on and move on. So that area of submission is a prayer that I pray every day. God, I submit to you everything. And so we're expected to submit our finances to God. So in terms of context, I'd like to talk a little bit about our backgrounds and our experiences. You can see us, all of us, we have different faces, we have different experiences, we have different backgrounds, we've come from different countries, and we've had different experiences in life that has molded and shaped us. Pastor Victor talked about culture and the things that shape us up. You know, so those background things that shape us, they determine the lens or the perspective from which we view things. But guess what? I like to talk a little bit about my life. I was raised in Nigeria, in Africa, and I grew up in a family that things were really, really hard, very hard. And, you know, when I was preparing for this, I cried a couple of times because, yeah, things were really hard, you know. Yeah, there were times we couldn't afford some things, and I really learned the hard way, you know. And growing up, it shaped my view of money before I met Jesus. I had this mindset of wanting to, you know, acquire and just build and build. So to be financially secure because of my background. Because I was like, even things like a television then, everybody had it, we didn't. I said to my dad, why don't we have television? He's like, because I can afford it. So I learned to be content with what I had then. It was hard. And so when I was growing up, before I met Jesus, my perspective was quite, when I get, I will accumulate, until I met Jesus. And so will be some of you in the room. I know this is the United Kingdom. There's money everywhere. You can walk, you can, you know, there's a lot of comfort here. There's a lot of privileges. If you go to Africa, you will understand what I mean. For those of you that have been able to travel, Pastor Victor, and you know, you guys are Africans. But even within, you know, an African setting, you would still have those that were wealthy and those that were, you know, just trying to get by. But thank God that when I gave my life to Jesus, there was a complete turnaround in my thoughts, in the way that I viewed money, in the way I viewed just life itself. God set me free. He set me free from that bondage of wanting to acquire and accumulate wealth, and just set me on a pedestal where I knew that my God could provide all my needs anytime, all the time. And so some of us, our backgrounds could be like that, or it could not. But whatever your background and your experience is, I tell you that Jesus does not want us to be in that place where we have this self-centered mindset. So you can either be financially secure or you're financially free. And financial freedom comes only through Jesus. He's the one that sets us free. And when he sets us free, we come into that abundance that he wants for us. And there's a scripture that I want to read, 2 Corinthians 9:8, the New King James Version says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." Think about that. So, coming out from darkness into light. This is God's perspective. We are not to operate in scarcity. We're not to have a scarcity mindset. but a mindset of abundance. Even though you don't see it, trust him. You've put your faith in him in the first place when you gave your life to him and confessed him as Lord. So we trust God that he's able to provide for all our needs, that he's able to give us, to meet our needs, do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ever think of or imagine. Praise the Lord. Okay. So just a bit of background and context. I hope that makes sense. But just going to kingdom, Pastor Victor, he gave a very detailed pictorial explanation of what kingdom is, which is in my brain now, because kingdom, so it's a king's domain. So who is that king? Jesus is the king. He is our king, and we are under his domain. Colossians 1:13 says, he delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So he has translated us. We are no longer in darkness, but in light, in the kingdom of his Son. Right. And Luke 17:22, I'll be throwing a lot of scriptures. I might not get round to all of them, but God will help me to know where to touch him today. Luke 17:20-21 says, now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, not just observation. Nor will they say, see here or see there. But guess what? Indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. So we have the kingdom of God operating in us. We have the Holy Spirit within us. We've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. And we have that kingdom burning within us. So God expects that kingdom within us to manifest certain things. Right, so finance, we're looking at kingdom finance. Finance, what is finance? By God's grace, I was trained as an accountant. So I know a little bit about finance and what financial management is about. But that is not even the case. So finance is defined as the management of money. How you manage your money. And it covers things like your investment. What do you invest in? What do you invest your money in? What do you spend your money in? Your borrowings, your budgeting, your saving, and how you do forecasting as well. It's another thing, how you forecast and plan your money in advance so that everything you have will be enough for you. So today we are going to look into God's word, his heart and mind on how we can be stewards of his money. I want you to remember, if you don't remember anything from this message today, remember three core scriptures. The first one is Psalms 24:1. And this just tells us that God owns everything. Everything. Including your money. And not just your money, your talents, your giftings, everything. I know we're talking about money today, but money is just a figment of the thing that we're talking about. God owns everything. So Psalms 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. It all belongs to God. Sometimes we think that the money that we own is ours. It's not yours. It's not my money. And I think that if we can get that right in our mindset, and that comes from the Holy Spirit giving us understanding that the money we have is not ours. But guess who we are? We are just stewards. We're stewards. We're called, in God's eyes, we're managers. Stewards or managers. And what does a manager do? Even in the office, They manage resources and they are accountable to someone else. So you have the owner at the top, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And then you have us here who are stewards. We are accountable to our Heavenly Father. So God owns it. Even though your bank account has your name written on it, I tell you, it doesn't mean it belongs to you. It belongs to God. And some people might argue, no, it's mine, it's my name. I'll tell you, when you came into this world, did you come with anything? No. And when you're leaving this world, you're going back with nothing. Nothing. So if God has blessed us with the money, let's use it for His glory. Okay, so that's the first scripture. The second scripture is Deuteronomy 8, 18. And it says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth." Think about it. He is the one that gives you the power. He is the one that's giving you the job. "That He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is today." So, God owns everything. He's the one that gives you your job. He's the one that gives you your business. He's the one that gives you power to get wealth. He's the one that gives you power to get new jobs. He's the one that gives you your earning capability, not you. It's all about God. Amen. And then the third one. How long have I got? I need to keep myself. Okay. And the third one, scripture that I want us to bear in mind as we're talking through this is in 1 Corinthians 10:31. It says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Even if that's what you take away today, I'm happy with that. You know, and I pray that God will minister the scriptures to you, that we know that what we have does not belong to us. It belongs to God. And it is God that is sustaining you, that is giving you that job or the business that you have. And He expects you to use the money that He has blessed you with for His glory. And what is His glory? For the advancement of His kingdom. Anything kingdom, they say, give. You should be the first to jump up and give. Some might say, oh, I'm in debt, I cannot give. Okay. Then manage your debt. Find a way to manage your debt. God will help us. Because some of us, we have mortgages, we have all of, a mortgage is a debt, isn't it? But we are still paying an offering to God. But if you have any questions at all, please, at the end of the service, please just come and have a chat with me or Pastor Victor or any of the leaders. And we will attempt to answer your questions, because I know there will be questions. So those three things. And then there's one, I'd like to read the parable of the talent, because I think that is so important in this as well. So that's from Matthew 25, 14 to 29. I'm going to just read it. We know it. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to one and to another 1. To each according to his own ability." So you can see that it says according to ability. So we don't all have the same abilities. So God gives us as we can handle. And so there's no need to say, oh, this person is earning blah, 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 and I'm earning just this. God has given you just what you can handle. The more you use it, the more you show your stewardship, God will bump you up so you can get more. Amen. And then verse 16, he says, "Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made 5 more talents. And likewise, he who received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received one went and dug it in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of the servants came and settled accounts. God is going to come back to settle accounts with us. We're all going to give an account of our stewardship. So he who received the 5 talents brought his 5 talents, saying, Lord, you delivered me 5. I have given 5. And the other one came and all of that and all of that. And then in verse 22, he who received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. I have gained 2 more. And the Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler of many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So, remember I said we all have different, we've been given different abilities. We've been given the talents differently. So the more you use it and bring out more, God, you're stretching. He keeps stretching you. You get more and he keeps stretching you. And then to the, in verse 26, but the Lord said to the one who dug his giftings, he says, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. 29 says, for to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. Remember the abundance we talked about at the beginning. God wants us to live in abundance. But from he who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. May that not be our portion. I want to believe, God, that many of us in church, we are givers. So if you are in that category, well done. That's what the Lord will say to you. So, when we have this mindset that our money is not ours, then our financial decisions becomes focused on managing it faithfully. Faithfully. Thank you, Jesus. And in Matthew 6:21, it says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I love that scripture. It's something we should always use to self-reflect. Where your values are. I want you to just reflect a little bit and just think, how do you spend your money? You get 100% just for a second. What takes the most of it? And you know, there's a quote by an American pastor called Tim Keller. He said, when anything in life is an absolute requirement for your happiness and self-worth, it is essentially an idol. Something you are actually worshiping. So as Christians, we should be laying treasures in heaven. And the way that we can lay our treasures in heaven is by making sure that when we receive our money, whether you have business or your income, start with God first. Put God first. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything will be added to you. And when we know our identity, as Isabel will bring in sometime, who we are in Christ, our identity should be rooted in Christ, not in anything else. It should be rooted in Christ, not in our worldly possessions, not in money, not in material things or anything else. We fix our eyes on Jesus. Yeah, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you just break off anything that is not of you. in our lives. Exodus 23 says, you shall have no other gods before me. Matthew 6:24 says, no one. I love this scripture. It's also a scripture that we should reflect on and examine our lives against. It says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot. There is no fence. There's no sitting on the fence. It's either you are for God or you are not. It's quite a powerful scripture. You can't serve God and mammon. It's so easy to say, this is my pay. I'm going to do what I like with it. And just keep amassing. And there are needs in the church. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I literally died with Christ. I died with him. When he died, he took me there. So it's not me anymore. It's not Elsie. It's nothing to do with Elsie anymore. It's God. It's his domain. It's his kingdom. It's his desire. It's his want. It's everything that he wants us to do. Not about my flesh anymore. As I said earlier, we submit to him. We live in submission. We no longer live in the flesh. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So how can we respond today to this? How do we respond? I know money matters can be a bit of a... No, it's mine. Don't talk to me. But this is God speaking. I'm sure we all know about fighting fights. And a lot of us give tithes. God actually set me free from fighting too as well. Because, you know, when you're coming out from a place of lack, you're like, oh, I cannot do it. I cannot do it. I cannot do it. But we've got to do it. We've got to do it. Why? Because God needs that money. It's God's money. It's not your money. I remember a couple of months ago, we're trying to raise some money in church. And people were contributing. And we thought, okay, we had a ballpark figure that we thought, okay, roughly. And it wasn't like we were in kind of getting there. But you know what? God used one person to bring about 70% of the money. One person in this church. It wasn't me. But somebody that, you know, so God's work will not stop. Even if we decide not to give. God will find some way to get that fund for his glory. But my prayer is that we will be stirred up today to be generous. So, what is tithe? Tithe is giving to God the first of our income. Anything on top of that is voluntary, your first fruit, free wills. I'm not going to go into that, otherwise we're not going to leave here today. So God commands us to give him the first tenth of our money, called tithe, and to bring it to church. And the principle of tithing really is an act of worship and trust. We're trusting God. Even though you don't have it, bring it. You're worshiping God. It's not even yours anyway. And some people might say, oh, you know, it's an Old Testament thing. Okay, I'll show you something soon. So Numbers 18, 26. I think from 25, I put 26, but it's from 25. And the Lord said to Moses, he says, speak to the Levites and say to them, when you receive from the the Israelites, the tithe, I give you as an inheritance, you must present a tenth of that tithe as the Lord's offering. So scripture says, for the Levites, yes, but then also, when he goes to the priest, because you have in those days, you have the Israelites, you have the Levites whose role was in the tent of the meeting. You know, they had that office, and then you had Moses and Aaron, and you know, they are like the priest. So that goes, what they give goes to the priest. A tenth of your income. And some say, well, is it a tenth of gross, net? I'm not going to get into that. Be convicted. So that's Old Testament. And I'm going to read Malachi 3, which God really used to deliver me. That I started tithing. And I have seen God's blessings. There is so much blessings attached to tithing. Malachi 3, 8 to 10. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. It says, will a man rob God? Robbery. It says, yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there might be food in my house. And then see what he says. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will be no room to receive it. Ponder on that. Can you imagine? Picture it. Oh, windows of heaven just opening. And I say this with all humility. I've never lacked since I started tithing and giving offerings in church. There is a blessing attached to it. I've never been out of work. Never been. My relationship with God is one where God sends me to a place. It's not always for a long time, maybe three years maximum, and he tells me to move. And I want to give a testimony about the current job that I have. Last year, the Lord had been speaking to me to give up that job. And you know, I was still in my flesh, you know. I was thinking about my bills, our bills that need to be paid. But eventually, I gave up my job. There wasn't a job. In October, I gave up the job. I did not have a job. And at that period, it was actually time to get a bonus. Those of you that work in the offices, I don't know, you that get bonuses. It was big. What I would have got was big. And when I resigned, everybody was saying to me, you're stupid. I said, yes. Foolish for Jesus. But I trusted God. I didn't have a job. I shared with Pastor, a couple of people in the prayer group, they know about this. And prayed and prayed. And it looked like I had 3 months' notice. So by January, I was supposed to be out of work. I think January 25th was my last day. God gave me a job around January 22nd or something like that. 3 days before my final notice period. This is what God can do. When our sufficiency is in God, he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. When we're when we trust God and we, you know, the money he gives us, we steward it well. We use it well. We cultivate it. We give. God will never leave us. And so is it truly 10%? Yes, I've shown you that it's 10% in the Old Testament. And what does the New Testament say about tithing? I haven't seen anything where it talks about tithing, but the Bible is complete. That's all I can say to you. The New Testament talks a lot about giving generously, giving radically for the advancement of God's kingdom. Time will not permit me, but I want you to go and read, I think it's Acts chapter 2 from verse 44 to 45, somewhere there. It says that all the people were in one accord. They brought their possessions. They brought everything to the apostles. All their belongings, they sold them and gave it to the apostles. And the apostles divided them accordingly. And there was no lack. So, for those that are saying, is it 10% or what? You think about it. I would say 10% is this basic. Would you like to sell your possessions? Yeah, that's what New Testament says. So the New Testament is radical. God encourages, be generous. Really generous. So minimum is the same standard, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament. It is the same kingdom. It's the same. So whether he's saying a tenth here or give generously, find your level. But I believe that 10% is a fair thing to do, 10%. And we've got to remember that the church relies on tithes and offerings. The church has a ministry team that get their pay from this. So let's be generous. And the church also, Pastor Victor, I was supposed to share Acts for this. There's some missions. There are some missions that Kingdom Faith supports. You know, we give our tithes and our offerings to the church, but look at the places all over the world where the church sends the money to. Across the nations of the world. So, and I know that Pastor Clive Simon. There's currently another message, same message going on in Horsham, and they're talking about the places where how Kingdom Faith stewards the money that you give them. Go and listen to it later. But these are the places, and some of you might thank you, Pastor Victor. Some of you might say, well, I don't want to give to Kingdom Faith. I want to give elsewhere. I cannot force you. But this is where you get your daily, this is where you get your bread. This is where you're fed. This is where you get everything. But if you're led, and I tell you sometimes that might just be the enemy wanting to get you to, no, I'm not going to give, I'll give somewhere else. And then later you're like, oh, I've been looking for a place and the money is not going anywhere. You're not stewarding that money. It is better for you to find a place. And the rightful place, I would say, is where you're getting your bread from. Where you're being fed the word of God. Where you're growing spiritually. So, tithing and the blessings attached to tithing. Right. And after we tithe, just before I go there, Corinthians 9:6-7 says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. God loves the cheerful giver. He looks at the heart. He's looking at your heart. You can give and you give grudgingly. That's not what God is asking us. As a kingdom, we should give joyfully. You're giving with joy and you get the blessings that come with it. So after we fight, God wants us to help those who have needs greater than our own. So when you get your income, first thing I do, I just take away God straight away. I don't even think about it. For years and years and years now, I've been doing it. I just take it away and give it to the church. And if you haven't been given, peradventure, there's someone here that's walking and you haven't been faithful in this area, consider, reconsider. And as Pastor Victor said, return to the Lord. Let's return to the Lord. Let's repent and return to the Lord and give to the Lord for the advancement of the gospel, as you see all the places that we send the money to, so that people can be saved. So if we go to Deuteronomy 15:11, I know there's so many scriptures I'm just pouring out at you, but I'm trusting that God will minister to you. Deuteronomy 15:11 says, "For the poor will never cease from the land. Therefore, I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide," not withholding, wide, "to your poor, to your brother, and to your poor and needy in your land." We've been talking about, you know, spiritual gifts, being sensitive to the spirit. One of the giftings is discernment of spirit. There are times when the Lord just ministers to me to just go and give somebody something. How in tune with God are you? Not just to the church, after you've done the church, but that comes from spending time with the King, like Pastor Jane was talking about, with the King. When we have a relationship with God, He ministers to us. He tells us things. He shows us people that are in need, people that we need to bless. Everybody looks so serious. I told you at the beginning that money matters can be very, very. So please, let's relax. Praise God. So let's remember the poor. Let's remember the needy. There are people in our midst that need money. If you don't know, if God is not speaking to you, talk to Pastor. Talk to Pastor Victor. He knows. He shepherds the church. He knows the people that are in need. Or just put something in an envelope and just mark it in for your tithe or your offering for the needy or whatever it is. But let's be people that are generous and are givers. Amen. I'm coming to the end of this. So I'd like us to also just remember about spending money as well. You know, it's we need to do it wisely. Sometimes we just go off. I tend to go off sometimes. You know, there was a time when I was much younger. Oh, I used to go to town center and you're just buying. Because it's the retail industry, they have a way of just taking your time and taking your money. So if you don't give it to God, I tell you, it will go somewhere else. It's going to go somewhere else. So let's be mindful in our spending. I'm so grateful for online shopping now. I can't control it. I don't have to go there. I don't go to town. And I'm not saying don't go to town. Go to town. But we've got to be really careful. Otherwise, we get carried away buying and shopping. Whereas there are people, poor people, that need our help and our support. So examine your spending and just reflect on the wise and unwise ways that you spent your money, and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And let's repent and return to God in this area. And so, in conclusion, I'd like to say to you, my brothers and sisters, I love you. I know the word has come, like, you know, it's actually a bit of, it's a lot. It's deep. But it's for our good. because we need to advance the kingdom. There's a lot that God wants to do. There's a lot of places God wants to reach. There's a lot of things God wants to do. He needs his money. He sat here in the room. So, let's surrender our finances to the Lord and be kingdom givers. And let's align our hearts with God's will through prayer to enable us to honor God through our spending and our saving habits. And I just like to go back to those three scriptures again, sorry, before I end, just for you to remember Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. God owns everything, everything. Deuteronomy 8:18, and you shall remember, please remember, that the Lord, it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. And finally, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of our Master and our Savior. Let his kingdom come. Let his will be done. Let us join in this radical move to expand God's kingdom. Let's open our hands wide and not hold back. Let us be givers. God gave his only son, Jesus, to die for us. Let's be givers. Let's give. And if you would like to, if this message has touched you, we've got envelopes at the back if you want to give. Please, you can do that. If God has touched your heart, you can even give one-off donations to just say, God, this message really touched my heart. I repent. And from today forward, I'm going to move with you. I'm not even going to settle for 10% tithe. Grow your tithe every year. Practice adding 1% on it every year. And as you increase it, God's going to increase your talent. So there is nothing that God cannot do. Let's rise to our feet. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I just want to pray for, I just want us to just reflect if you're here today and you just really sense that God is saying to you to change your ways, change your thoughts, change your perspective. Remember how my perspective changed. God wants to set us free and take us to a place of financial freedom because he wants us to live in abundance. Have an abundance mindset and be ready, be quick. Just as the first person that got the five talent, he immediately went to invest that money. We'll be quick to say, Lord, yes, here I am. Jesus, we give you praise. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just submit to you. We surrender. Lord, I surrender. I need to do more. We surrender everything to you, God, because it belongs to you. It all belongs to you. Oh, Father, we repent, oh God, where we have treated your resources like our resources. We say, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. Teach us, Lord, to be like those in the days of the apostles. They were radical. I know we might not be able to sell our possessions, but we can surely give more. We can surely give more. And as we give, there is a blessing attached to it. Thank you, Father.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.